Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to conclude our studies in the superiorities of Christ in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to talk about the fact that the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. We're going to make a comparison that shows up the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going right back to the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. And in verse 3, we read, "When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Now, he is compared, first of all, with the angels. The Old Testament saints, those in Israel, respected the angels. They had figured so highly in their history as a nation. On one occasion, I think it was the siege of the Assyrians, king of the children of Israel, God sent an angel into the camp of the Assyrians that night, and that lone angel slew 184,000 men. Now, they loved the angels. They revered the angels. But here's somebody better. And we're going to read about him, and in verse 4 again, "being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Now, this Son of God we have already developed. Oh, how much there is in this title of his, this blessed title, the Son of God, if you please, the complete revelation of God, in whom all his purposes and all his glories are displayed. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. He's the Son. He's not an angel. He's the Son. Again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Did he ever ask angels that question? And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he says, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And the angels of the angels, he said, "who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire." But unto the Son, he saith, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth." We've already considered that. "And the heavens are the work of his hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. All they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemy is thy footstool? He said to that, to the Son, and to the Son only." Now this universe is wearing out. And the angels have done their service to Israel, and now they're serving the people of God. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The angels have protected us until the grace of God and his salvation reaches us. Now we're going to compare him with another revered person in the nation of the children of Israel. We're going to compare him with Moses. We read in chapter 3, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man, Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony as of those things which should be spoken after. But the Son, Christ as the Son, over his own house. Whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Now, granted, the word better, per se, is not used here, but we are shown of the superiority of Christ over Moses. He is much better. I think better is a poor word to use. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was in his faith, was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. You see, Christ was the creator. Moses was a servant. Christ was the Savior. Moses was the servant. And so we see the glory of Moses and the Old Testament. All that Moses represented, you know, during the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the Jews that he met in his ministry said, "We are the disciples of Moses." Oh, yes, those Pharisees. They were the disciples of Moses, yes. But oh, Christ is greater than Moses. He is the Son. He is building a house. He is building a house in regard to Israel, and he is building his church. And that church is the very dwelling place of God himself. It's the temple of God. And God is building for the children of Israel. He's going to give them a kingdom. God is not through with Israel. Not at all. He is going to bless them in the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And they're going to be the head of the nations, not the tail. Oh, how wonderful God's purposes all are. And then we can go on that Christ is better than Aaron. In chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, we see him compared with the Aaronic high priest. For every high priest taken from among the men is ordained for God and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them which are out of the way, that he himself also is encompassed with infirmity. But by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, also for himself to offer for sins. And no man hath this honor unto him, taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. Oh, Christ, he steps onto the scene now. And he was made a high priest at forever after the court order of Melchizedek. Now this comparison is furthered in chapter 7, if you please, and we want to read it now. By so much was Jesus made surety of a better covenant. Israel was related to God in a covenant. When Moses was at the Mount Sinai and the children of Israel were gathered around the foot of that mighty mountain, God said to Moses, "Now you tell the children of Israel how they shall act under this covenant." And Moses took the message to the children of Israel, and they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do." Did they do it? No, they didn't do it. They rebelled against him. They even went back into idolatry in much of the history of the nation. They did not keep the covenant. Now, that's the old covenant. This covenant is better. In what way? Verse 23, we're still comparing Christ with Moses, not with Moses, but with Aaron, the high priest. And they truly were priests in those days of Aaron, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, whereof he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered himself for our sins. He had no sins of his own. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, made the Son who is consecrated for evermore. Now, we read here that the new covenant is much better than the old covenant. Now, in the new covenant, the covenant is between the Father and between the Son. And you and I are the beneficiaries of that covenant. God is blessing to us the work of Christ. All right? He is better than the sacrifices we read in Hebrews chapter 9. And shall we begin reading particularly at verse 23. It was necessary that the patterns of heavens and the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly sacrifices themselves with better sacrifices than these, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ has a better ministry, and all of those Old Testament types and shadows were just pictures, just a pattern of what the reality really is. Christ is in the sanctuary now. He's in the heavens, but he's not bringing in continual sacrifice, as we before noted in Hebrews chapter 10. No, not the continual sacrifices. He offered the one and only sacrifice, but he is sitting as a high priest under those circumstances in heaven, our high priest, our great high priest, and to whom we owe everything, and to whom we can pray for every need. We read this in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we've already considered it, but I think I'll read it again. Verse 14 of the fourth chapter. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, for we have obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, just a brief statement. We have not covered all the better things in the book of Hebrews. Christ, the antitype of the types in the Old Testament. Our Father, we thank you today for the wonders of the glories of God that are displayed in Christ in the book of Hebrews, and we thank you in his name. Amen.